Easter should be the best day of the year. It's a celebration of the resurrection of hope. Come to Crossroads Church and celebrate an empty tomb and a living hope. Info and service times at crossroads.net.
ESPN 97.5.
Good name. Totally fits.
A Gao Media Station. KFC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go, final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Tuesday from the Gao Media Studios. Tomorrow's a way back Wednesday. We'll get you with that. And then you guys know what to do as you participate, and always squander the quality lists of Barry and myself to pander to Nick once his robots are done voting. That's why we pretty much did away with the vote.
Lauren Pope tweeted and said, Barry, you should wax your underarms instead of shaving them.
God, that sounds like it would hurt.
Nora wants me to do that. She's like, oh, come on, I'll wax them for you. It's great. You don't have to worry about it. It lasts a lot longer than shaving.
No, thanks.
I'm thinking I cut a skin tag off. I can't imagine pulling one off.
No.
That would hurt even worse with the wax. So I'm out on that. I'm not waxing.
I feel like when they suggest stuff like that, they just want you to feel their pain.
Yeah.
That's all that is.
You're not going to ever experience what it feels like to deliver a child. So in the meantime, let me put some electrical tape on your armpits and rip away.
No, thank you. In fact, I heard a comedian one time say, yeah, women may complain about the pain of giving childbirth, but they never gotten their penis stuck in their zipper. So... yeah, that's a good...
it's a good point.
Yeah, that's pretty much even to me. Sorry, that's even Steven on that. I don't remember which comedian it was, but yeah, that's even Steven there.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It's that whole something about Mary scene with Ben Stiller.
The beans above the Franks.
Oh, man.
Right?
You feel for that guy and you feel the pain even though it's not you.
Oof. No doubt.
Yeah, that's a tough one right there. I just... And I get it. Look, I get it from a female's perspective. You're never going to get, you know... go through what it's like to childbirth. Well, pretty much without me, you're not going to have the opportunity to go through childbirth. So it's still a give and take, in my opinion.
You're going to
claim the fact that, you know, yeah, Lisa had to go through the delivery on Taylor, but without me, there's no Taylor.
Boy.
So I'm happy to supply what I did my part.
I mean, she could have went elsewhere.
I mean, look, yeah, she could have, but instead, look, she gets 9 months to eat whatever she wants and just hammer food and everything like that. It doesn't go over any better
the
in my house.
The views of Joel Blank do not necessarily reflect that of Barry Laminack, Nick Sciarra.
You're worried about that, Barry, after willing to punch an old man in his face?
And a dog.
Hit somebody upside the head with a golf club.
Wait a minute.
Slap a dog.
Scare little kids at grocery stores.
Wait a minute. You're taking all of this out of context. All of that was taken out of context.
I don't think it was really.
Well, I mean, of course you're going to not agree with me and agree with him. I would only punch an old man if he put his hands on me first. I would slap a lady's dog if she tried to slap the phone out of my hand and she was holding a dog. I didn't say how hard I would hit it. I never said that I would slap the fire out of it. The dog. I wouldn't hit a lady. I would brush the dog like a...
Knowing your anger, there's no way you're brushing that damn dog.
Plus,
that dog's going to get smacked upside the head.
Anger. About the guy that got up in the other guy's face, the old guy. You said you'd hit him.
What?
If he didn't make contact with you, you would hit him.
Wait. What's that again?
Did you say you'd hit him if the old guy at the game was getting all up in your face because you were rooting for the wrong team and you were making noise when
no,
I wanted to hear the game?
Because what I said was, because the guy was a Packers fan and he put his hands to his face and yelled, go Pack, go.
Yeah.
And the old man slapped his hand. If the old man did that to me, I would punch him in his face. That's what I said. You slap my
hand?
That's
almost as bad.
No, it's not even close.
It's almost as bad. Isn't it, Nick?
No, it's not even close.
I mean, if you'd punch an old man in his face.
Yeah, I mean, look, if he slaps your hand away and you're going to go haul off.
He didn't punch you in the face. Slap him in his hand.
My hands are at my face. Did you not listen to the whole thing, Nick?
Yeah, but that you shouldn't have put your hands there. That's your fault.
You're such an idiot. And by the way, you saying that how angry I am, I'm the least angry guy on this show. When it comes to anger... What?
I mean, I'll go off. I don't know about you. You're not the least angry guy on this show.
You're the angriest, Nick.
I would disagree with that.
Joel is second. I'm third.
I would disagree with that big time.
I'm going to agree to disagree.
What?
Yeah.
Well, you think I'm the angriest?
No.
No, Nick is definitely the angriest.
I'm not.
On this, we can agree.
No question about it.
Now we just have to figure out who's second.
Yeah, it's a coin toss between you and I.
Okay.
I don't think the suspects would agree with this.
The tweet or the issue. It depends on the text, the tweet, or the issue.
But by far, Nick is the angriest.
I would disagree with that.
Well, you would. Yeah, but hey, don't get mad. We're just making this. I don't want you to get
angry. Face, old man.
I'll punch you in your face, old man. Don't give his cell phone number out on the air.
I don't want you to get angry at us. We're just making a statement, sir. Please don't blow up on us.
Jeez.
Good times.
Hey, it's part of the fun and games of being one of the suspects. It's what we do around here.
It is. Can we talk about fun and games with the USA basketball team from 2000? Did you see this article that came out?
I did see this.
Kevin Garnett said there was $1 million bounty for whoever could dunk on Yao Ming.
I did see that.
You good with that?
Yeah, I'm okay with
that.
I want
to know where the money's coming from.
That is a great question.
Right?
I didn't even think about that angle. That is a great question. Who's paying?
Right, because
is it everybody pulling the money together?
Once they got the real NBA stars to play on the Dream Team, USA Basketball was making cash.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't surprise me if Jerry Colangelo would have gotten in on it and said, yeah, quietly, we'll give the... That wouldn't surprise me.
There's something about posterizing Yao Ming back in the day that really looked good on highlights.
Everybody wanted to.
It was big.
And he didn't have a big vertical. He's just a big guy. It's the same thing why people want to dunk on Sean Bradley.
Yeah, it's like these skinny arms. It's like...
Like when Tracy McGrady rode him like a cowboy.
No, like, that was Sean Bradley.
Oh, that's what I said. Sean Bradley.
Yeah.
But people wanted to do that. And the same thing with Yao. If you're a big, tall guy. Anybody that dunked on Manute Bol? That was a big deal just because he's so tall.
Or Mutombo because of the finger wag. But the thing with Shaq used to get it from on Yao every now and then, but that's just because of his brute force and size when Yao wasn't that big.
Yeah, he would just bully him
and
around.
And people didn't realize, once Yao kind of filled out in the NBA, that was a large, large, heavy man.
Yeah, and I think that's the reason why the bounty came out. Because I think that bounty came out back when... Because when Yao Ming first got into the league, Spud Webb could have posterized Yao Ming. Everybody was dunking on Yao Ming. But when he really started to gather himself and not fall on the ground every time he was touched and worked out a little bit more, it made it much more difficult to get a dunk on him. And I think that's the reason why that bounty came out, because it wasn't really that easy.
Well, Garnett said, we all tried to dunk on Yao, but he would block it or we would miss.
Yep.
That showed you
so
what
they
he
weren't
had.
Able. Yeah.
Because I'll tell you this. His first game in the NBA was in Indiana, and I was traveling at the time with the team. And that's when the All-Star balloting was completely done by the fans. Okay? Mm-hmm. And the hype was huge because he was number one pick. He went and absolutely crapped the bed in his first game. And we were getting on the plane, and I called Tim Frank, who was our old PR guy, who was the PR guy for the league, and I go, you got a real problem on your hands. And he's like, what are you talking about? I go, did you see the game tonight? He's like, no, I didn't see it. What'd I miss? I go, your leading vote getter and the starter in the NBA All-Star game played like garbage. And I'm scared to death that for the league, this is going to be a huge, huge embarrassment. He's like, was he that bad? I go, go watch the highlights. He called me the next day. He goes, it wasn't very good, was it? I was like, no, we can only hope that that was just an abnormality that happened once again. And then right after that, the next game, he played really well. And I was like, okay, there's hope. But the other thing that you guys remember is because of his culture, not only he was good about defending, he didn't want people to dunk on him, but he wouldn't dunk on others.
Yes.
And his teammates started to really give him some heat. And then about a couple years in, the first time he hammered on someone and posterized it, everyone on the plane gave him a standing ovation, everything like that. And he was laughing with it. And he was like, that's a good thing. I was like, that's a great thing. Anytime you get a chance to do that, you need to do that.
I think I remember that game, actually, when he dunked on somebody.
He had a couple where he went down the lane, and it was like, oh, he's Americanized now.
But he wouldn't even, like, you'd have a lot of dudes that would dunk on somebody and then, like, show you, like, ah, like, mean
mug
you.
Step over him or...
He wouldn't do any of that. Uh-uh. He would just dunk and turn around, put his head down, and run down the court like he had a signature gait. But you knew it was Yao when he ran, too.
And he was just he was just always the nicest guy, as well as the gentleman. He didn't have that kind of MJ Kobe venom in him that says, if I have you down, I'm stepping on your throat kind of thing. And that's something that Van Gundy drove him nuts. I mean, you had to work because everybody thought you could change this guy, but his culture was so deep in him that it was different. But yeah, man, we used to give him, like, when he dunked on somebody, we were like, all the props in the world just to try and get him to keep doing it, because it just wasn't in his nature.
But I mean, he never really got to where, like, I don't even recall, was there ever a time he was close to getting in a fight with anybody?
No, not him.
I was going to say, I don't ever even recall that.
Van Gundy, maybe. There was a season where he would tell his interpreter, in so many words, that Van Gundy was on his last nerve.
Really?
Yeah.
Now that surprises me.
Yeah. Jeff had his favorites, and T-Mac was his favorite, and he knew why, because T-Mac was an established guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he could really lean on him. But, yeah, Yao was the guy that he felt like, because, you know, they say some guys you can coddle and some guys you push.
Yeah.
Sometimes Jeff pushed too hard.
And he needed to back
Yao,
off.
And I don't think Jeff realized that it got to Yao sometimes.
Really?
Yeah. Because, he was like a big softy in a lot of ways.
Yeah, he was the big sensitive.
Yeah. He was. And at the same time, though, I don't think if he had gotten hurt that we would have ever seen a big man with the touch. Now, we see that these stretch fours, stretch fives.
Yeah.
But Yao was a guy from the free throw line, from facing the basket to the hook shots to the post moves. Boy, his touch and his ability to put the ball in the basket was special.
You think he would be shooting threes?
I do. Really? I really do. I do. You see DeMarcus Cousins doing it. Now, he doesn't get up and down the floor like they do. But, I mean, if people laid off of him, he had a pretty – like, I've seen Dwight shoot threes and talk about wanting to be a three-point shooter, and you're like, yeah, that's just a bad idea. But if you saw Yao shoot in practice, you'd realize that it wouldn't be his go-to thing, but he could knock it down.
Yeah,
he had a great rotation, was perfect, well, soft touch.
I don't understand why a guy 7'6", or however tall he was,
7'6",
wouldn't be able to shoot a good – I mean, I know it's because a lot of times it's not what they focus on, and guys like DeMarcus Cousins and Joel Embiid and those guys now have started doing that.
Mm. But well, think
it
about
just
it,
seems like it would be – like a guy that's 5'6" is going to struggle to shoot a three-point shot – way more than a guy that's 7'6".
But when you talk about 7'6", now you could, unless you're
the
Donald,
arc factor.
Well, that and unless you're Donald Trump, you're 7'6".
Yeah, big hands.
Try to shoot a tennis ball and be a good free throw shooter.
Oh, that's a good point.
Because it's a different feel, and your hands are so big. Shaq's biggest problem was the fact that that ball was so small in his hands. And Okafor, that's now with New Orleans, that's another big deal. That Okafor has an issue with the fact that he's got like catcher's mitts for hands. And then you put the basketball in his hands, and you want him to get touch and rotation and follow through. That's different.
I forgot about
Very
that.
Very much different.
That's a good point. By the way, Texter, Nick is definitely the angriest.
See?
He called Barry an SOB. So
yeah, amongst other things.
Yep.
That so, he has called Barry.
That's true. Barry is for sure the anger one. Nope. That's not. That's a false text. That's not a good text at all. I don't like that. Demetrius said, oh, my God, I had the exact same waterbed, Barry. And I was proud of it.
Mine was wood grain.
What? So it wasn't black lacquer?
It was wood grain with
wood
the book.
Wood grain. That's with a, the that book, phrase is a blast from the past.
Wood grain with the bookcase headboard.
So, but it was lacquer, though, right?
No, like, it was wood. It was wood.
It looked like a station wagon?
It kind of looked like the side of the Brady Bunch station wagon, yeah.
Mine was it was smooth black lacquer. Like it
I
was,
know what you're talking about.
Yeah. It was
kind of like this, but had some grain to it.
Did it take like 17 people to like bring the waterbed into the house and get it set up?
You just set it all up by myself. Demetra said, I met my wife in 98 and it was gone when we moved in together. Well, that happens.
My dumb ass thought about taking the waterbed mattress out and putting a mattress in it to have that cool look.
Why would you do that?
Because it was wood grain and it had the bookcase and the bookcase headboard, and it looked classy for a college guy.
Somebody said Puddles the Clown's the funniest thing Joel has ever said. So there you go.
You were out. I told Nick a little story.
I heard. Okay. I actually think you've told me that story before.
Have I?
Because I walked in and heard the tail end of it and went, oh, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, that was tough. Okay, we're going to continue to move on. But, of course, we love you participating in the show. Great text messages again today and lots of tweets. If you want to join in, 713-780-3776 to call or text or hit us up on Twitter. It is The Usual Suspects, which means it has to be ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, knee deep in hour number three of the extravaganza we call The Usual Suspects. As we'll take you till 4, Blitz will take you till 7. Aaron along with Fred and AJ as we continue to roll. By the way, we were talking about the fact that, you know, who's the angriest on the show and everything like that.
Uh-huh.
And we've also talked in the past about, like, how we are when we're driving and otherwise. But people, you cannot be too careful anymore, because I saw this story in the USA Today, and we don't have to elaborate on it too deeply, but it just caught me because of the fact that they thought the whole story was a former University of Colorado football player, right? He's now he was an assistant principal. He was killed fighting over a parking spot between his school and another building.
Wow.
And the guy that he got into it with over the parking spot killed him. He was 46. The guy who killed him was 31. Is it really that serious,
That's
people?
That's scary. Man, because I used to do that all the time. Fight for a parking spot.
Because we were talking about, like, would you put something on the door handle? Right. Would you have the sign in your car? And then you go and you find this and go, God, sometimes people... And the guy that's 31 had his whole life in front of him, and he completely just put himself in jail for the rest of his life over a parking spot.
So I'm looking at the article, and it really doesn't say what the actual beef was, does it? It was just like... It just says it was over a parking spot. But was it like that the other dude's spot and... This
Was it reserved
DJ
for
Cunningham
you?
Kept parking in it. Like, I don't care that it has your name on it. I'm going to park here.
Was the car,
do something about it.
Was the car sitting there, didn't have his turn signal on to say, I'm taking that spot when this car backs out? Then there was a fight over it. But regardless, it's a parking spot, people.
That's crazy.
That's just, life's too valuable to be doing over that stuff.
I'm all for leaving notes and maybe hawking a loogie on somebody's car door.
I mean, who was there first? Was the dude there first?
Even so, that's not the reason to kill somebody.
They don't kill somebody.
That's why you're
point.
The angriest one on this show.
Yep.
I'm just saying. Would murder someone over a parking spot.
I've gotten
just
into verbal arguments.
Yeah. I'm with Barry now.
I'm with you.
Yep. Back in the day.
Yeah.
For a parking spot.
Nick, I'll kill you over a parking spot.
Angry Hank in there.
Well, they would oversell these parking spots, and they wouldn't have enough spaces.
But again, we're at a school. They're not charging you for spots.
Absolutely. At school? At University of Houston? It's expensive.
No, this was a high school. He was an assistant principal.
Oh, okay. That's right. But maybe it was a long walk.
Somebody had a bunch of comments about...
He's a football player. He can walk it out.
Wait a minute.
Come on, man.
What? So that justifies murder.
I'm just saying, maybe that's what started the altercation.
I was going to read this text that just had a bunch of garbage about MJ and his hands, but it ended with JB is the angriest. But I'm not going to read that now, because you would murder someone over a parking spot.
I'm just saying what caused
it. You're not going to read that now?
I've seen
like that.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Because it's a long walk. You are by far the angriest. Look, actually, you know what? You're not. You're a great guy, Nick. Don't shoot me. You're a nice guy. Like you.
I know this paint.
If you want to park somewhere, you let me know, and you can have it.
You guys want to have that fight about the
Please
Rockets uniforms again?
No.
I want to see where that goes.
I don't want to die.
People are still talking about that, by the way.
Yeah, they are.
This text just says, Nick is the angry one, Barry is the funny one.
Okay.
I left yours out.
I see that.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
I don't think that's a stretch either. I mean, we all know I have thin skin from time to time, so I'll take that.
Fantastic.
I can own that.
The middle part said Nick is the angry one, Joel has the thinnest skin, and Barry is the funny
one. It said Joel, so I'll give him a little. Yeah,
that's
because
true
that,
too.
Yeah, so they know that they listen on the regular. So
right.
Yeah.
I skipped it, though.
I appreciate it, but yeah, I'll own it.
What other text did you skip? All the ones that said you're the angry one?
No, I read the one, and then you were too busy talking, but we read one that said you were the angriest on air. You're getting several votes for the angriest, by the way. So I think the cat is out of the bag.
And for people that have tweeted it to me, and also I see it on the text message, I will admit that I omitted the Brooklyn Nets as a surprise team in the NBA. They are definitely a team that I did not expect to be what they are.
Good.
Yeah, so I mean,
there you go.
When Joe Harris wins the three-point contest, everybody goes, who? From where?
Yeah,
exactly. That's a surprise.
Jermaine Avery said, what about the time Yao dunked on Shaq in their first game and screamed?
Yeah, it was at Compaq Center. That's as close as it got. But that was
from
one of those moments.
I remember, he blocked him once or twice in the beginning, and then Shaq just absolutely dominated him for the rest of the game I remember.
Yao actually put up good numbers in the game, but I believe the Lakers, I don't know if they won the game, but Shaq, I think, had better stats. But that was one of the ones where in the locker room after the game, because they expected, because of his just his disposition, that once Shaq was doing that, he wasn't going to want to get him back. When he did get him back, when they waited for him to come in the locker room, and they were basically like, that's what I'm talking about.
Be that guy.
Yes.
Do that all the time. It's just not in, if it's not in your nature, it's just not going to happen.
And I will
you
say this.
Can't, you can't fake it. Like, Nick tries not to be angry.
I'm not angry.
Okay, today, don't be so mad about it.
Today, right? But that's progress.
Tomorrow I might be.
Remember your resolution? That
well,
was
I'm
for
probably
going to
win way back Wednesday, so not tomorrow. Thursday
oh,
I might be angry.
Lord.
Well, it depends on the box.
So you're the angriest and you lie the most.
Yeah, really.
What were you gonna say?
No, I was going to say that. You know, a lot of the perception of a lot of people in the public eye are that they're different when the lights aren't on, the cameras right. aren't on, they're not on the field.
Right.
Yao Ming was exactly who everybody saw. He was
really?
The nicest. He had the biggest heart. I will tell you this. I still have, for every year that I worked with Yao, a hand-signed Christmas card every year.
No kidding.
Every year, he and then when he got married, he and his wife would sign every single Christmas card and go around the office and around the basketball staff and make sure that he hand-delivered, hand-signed Christmas cards.
Wow.
Yeah, and who does that, right?
I mean, I did it this year.
But I'm saying, what, Christmas, like,
here?
Big-time
you didn't get yours?
Athlete? No, I didn't expect it. You sent me coal, I think.
So, nah, anthrax.
So I decided to buy a Weber grill. I decided to buy a Weber grill and go back to
that's
tailgating.
What that's
yeah.
what it was.
Yeah.
You're not a big movie guy, right?
I was, and my wife just doesn't like to go.
Oscars? You keep up with the Oscars?
Yeah.
Yeah, a
to
little
some
bit?
Degree.
Not
yeah.
really.
So have you guys, what's like the best movie you watched this past year?
Well, see, now you lost me.
I hate to
you
say
didn't
it,
watch
but it's
because
movie?
Lisa doesn't want to go to movies.
Okay.
So I don't, and with everything going on with Taylor, it's hard for me to block out 2-3 hours to watch a movie.
Okay, so you don't watch movies.
I don't.
You any particular movie?
Bird Box was like the last one that I...
On Netflix?
I appreciate it, yep.
So they have the betting odds out for Picture of the Year. And I'm curious if you saw any of these movies. Because I've seen two on the list, and two are on the list for me to see. So there's Roma, which is minus 500. You're okay. looking at me like you have no idea what that
not
is.
Not that one, no. Nope.
Actually, when I hosted the, or not hosted, but when I was at the Houston Film Critics Choice Awards, a lot of these ended up on their list, too. Mm. And Roma was one I added. It's in subtitles, but it looks really good. It's a story about, I think, a family in Mexico. And I don't know if it involved the drug trade or what, but it's okay. It supposedly is a really good movie. I just haven't seen it yet. But it is in the Netflix queue to be watched. Green Book, which was a plus 350. No idea what that is.
Nope. I don't, heard of it.
You have?
I have heard of
I
it.
I have no idea. A Star is Born, plus 1500.
See, it's a remake. But now, everybody's going nuts because it's Lady Gaga and what's his name? Bradley Cooper.
It's on my list to watch, but I have not watched it yet. The Favorite is a plus 1500, which looks really good. It's the lady from Broadchurch, which you probably have not seen. It's on Netflix.
Nope.
But it looks really funny, actually. It's like there's Queen, and she's a crazy woman. And it looks interesting. Black Panther is a plus 2100.
Okay.
I've seen Black Panther. I would have thought it would actually have been a little lower.
I've seen Black Panther as well.
Okay, so that's you finally have seen a movie on this list like me.
Yeah.
That's the first one I've seen. I had none of those. I know what those other ones are, but I haven't watched them yet.
Yeah, Black Panther, I felt like, I'm not going to use the word overrated because I really did like the movie, but I did feel like it dragged in
okay.
some parts of the movie,
okay.
and I think that's the only part that can kind of hurt it,
okay.
in my opinion.
Bohemian Rhapsody plus 2200. I really want to see this
I want to see that.
I really want to see it too. And you know, the thing that surprised me the most is a guy that loves Freddie Mercury and Queen the way Fred does
yeah.
was so totally poo-pooing it.
Really?
I was shocked by that. Even AJ was surprised by that.
Hmm. A lot of people were actually, I've heard, but I still want to see it. I am impressed with that the lead actor, Rami Malek, but I just think that.
From Mr. Robot, which
from
is
Mr.
also
Robot,
a very good
from
show.
Need for Speed,
yeah.
from a lot of
Lisa's
stuff.
Mom
Mr. Robot,
saw it.
Have you watched that, Mr. Robot?
No.
Really good.
Lisa's mom saw
the
Bohemian Rhapsody
season.
And just really could not stop talking
really?
About how great it was.
Next one is Black Klansman. Just watched that this weekend. That's a plus 3,200.
Right?
Yep. Spike Lee directed it, plus 3,200. Really good show. And the last one was Vice at plus 9,500.
That's the one that really I was amazed even made the list because that's the comedy from about Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
The former vice president.
Right.
And they even go into how, you know, when he went hunting, he shot the guy in the face
right.
and all that other stuff. And I was like, so they made a comedy like that, and it was good enough to make the best picture
was
list.
It a comedy? I didn't realize it was a comedy.
It was kind of, there was a lot of
I know yeah. there was a lot of funny parts. I didn't realize, but yeah.
I don't know if I'd call it, I don't know what the terminology is about if the genre is a full-blown comedy.
Yeah.
But it was billed to have a lot of humor in it.
I feel like of all these, so I think the good money would be on Bohemian Rhapsody at plus 2,200. I feel like that would be the good money. People raved over that.
I've also heard the same about Black Klansman.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
As far as value?
Yeah, and I mean, look, the first time they did the movie, it was A Star Is Born was Barbra Streisand and Kris Kristofferson.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, back then, I don't know if that it was any big deal. I just don't know why a remake should be on the list.
Well, I tell you where good money is, too. That's on GetUpside, because it's a free app that you download to get cash back on stuff you're already paying for. GetUpside is a great application that you can use on your phone. It's in the iTunes store. It's in the Google Play store. When you download it, use promo code Barry when you sign up, because you'll save even more money. And these gas stations and restaurants that you'll find in GetUpside, they want your business. So they're offering these cash back deals in the app. And it's for you, it's like getting free money. They want you to come and shop there, so they make you these offers. But you can only get them through the app, through GetUpside. And there's a lot of choices. You've got over 5,000 gas stations in the Houston area where you can get up to 25 cents a gallon. They've got hundreds of restaurants where you can get up to 35% cash back. I don't know if you know math very well. 35%, that's like a third of your bill. And it's really easy to use. You just open it up. You click on, like I've got it in front of me right now. I click on food. I can get 15% cash back right now at the Burger King around the corner on Richmond. That's like, it's so easy to get cash back on stuff you're already spending money on. Why wouldn't you use it? To claim an offer, all you do is use your debit card, take a picture of the receipt, done. Cash back within 24 hours. I know when I did my gas, the first time I used it with my promo code, I used my own promo code, Barry. I got 30 cents back a gallon on my first fill up with the GetUpside app. It's awesome. And so I want you to use that promo code so you can get that savings too. There's, like I said, hundreds of restaurants with inside the app. Open it up, see which ones around you. Use promo code Barry when you use GetUpside and get that extra savings on gas. Because you like getting cash back, right? GetUpside, use promo code Barry. Thank me later.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 30 minutes still to go on The Big Show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Tuesday with Barry, Nick, and Joel in the Gal Media studios. And why are you blaring my ears out? Cranking up a little, what is that, Green Day?
Old ass man.
No, it just went up. The volume just went up. Normally we fade it out and it went in my ear.
Turn that racket down up there.
It was a little loud, but maybe you have some really good new headphones.
You just went old man on him. You don't even have the headphones on your ears.
Yes, I do. Right here I do. Oh, that's the one that I hear everything with.
Yeah.
Only the cool kids do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
One can on and one can off,
it's
huh?
It's lit.
Did you just say it's lit?
Damn right.
Oh, my gosh. You're wacky.
Stay woke.
You're a wackadoodle.
Stay woke.
Stay woke. It's no, lit if you wear one headset.
Please don't.
Only one ear.
James Bohannon asked thoughts on the Firefest documentary on Netflix. I did finally get to sit down and watch that, too. Most shocking thing of all of it is when one of the organizers, who's a pretty well-renowned businessman, was asked to go and give oral sex to one of the guys in the Bahamas to allow the water trucks to be released from customs. And his response was, okay. So he goes down there fully intending on following through with it. And the guy's like, hey, man, I like you. You can have the water. Just make sure I get a cut of some of the profit from this festival later. But he was like, so I didn't have to do it, but I was fully prepared to do it. Bro, don't tell that story on air. Don't never tell that story. Why would you even admit to that?
Yeah. No, I heard that story too.
Don't do that.
And was it Cody that was the one that was all deep into this documentary?
I think it was Cody, yeah.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I thought we had mentioned it on the show before, but yeah, it just sounded like a complete unorganized cluster fest.
Yeah, that's literally what it was.
Yeah.
It was horrible the way they did it. And that dude is such a scam artist, the guy that was in charge of it. And Ja Rule, here's the crazy thing. So Fyre started as a way to book artists, specifically bands, without having to go through a booking agency or whatever. It was just an app. and you could use the website. You could go to, like, I think it was fire.com or something like that, and you could book bands. Like, oh, I want to book Ja Rule for this thing I have. And so, like, let's say we wanted Ja Rule to be at our Christmas party for ESPN. Mm-hmm. You know, literally, we could have gone to fire.com, book Ja Rule, pay the fee. He shows up. Ja Rule performs at our Christmas party. How cool are we, right? And you could do it with several bands. Well, then that kind of turned into the Fire Festival. And then that's when they decided they were going to do this on an island, and it just became this mess. And the funny thing to me is I started Googling, like, the app and stuff. Ja Rule, there's a new app. Because Ja Rule took it on the chin on this one because they were like, man, you're associated with this scam. Mm-hmm. They basically scam people. They paid thousands, tens of thousands of dollars to go to Firefest. They were promised all this luxurious stuff. None of it was true. They were all stranded. And Ja Rule was associated with it. Fast forward to now. There's a new website slash app out where you can book talent, and guess who's behind it? Ja Rule.
Ja Rule, yeah.
They're like, bro, what are you doing? This is Fire all over again. So I found that part to be interesting too, but I recommend it. It's a good little time waster just to figure it out, because I had no idea what it was. My wife knew what the hell it was. Like, she remembers the story, but I didn't know what the hell it was.
Yeah, I had heard the story as well previously, but then I'm fascinated by all the festivals because, like I said, Lisa's parents live right outside Coachella. They can, from their balcony of their bedroom, they can literally see the Ferris wheel at Coachella. And so it's just amazing to me that this quiet little town becomes just this twice a year, because there's a country version of it, and then there's the big Coachella festival, and the whole town just turned upside down.
That's the country version of it?
Yeah.
Had no idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can get you the information if you want, or I can ask Lisa and her mom. But yeah, there's a country version, and then there's the big Coachella festival.
I've never been there.
But it's crazy.
So, yeah.
And it is. It's just a big parking lots and a big piece of land and lots of nice communities they're building now around it.
I had an idea 2 years into comedy that I wanted to do a festival here in Houston, a comedy festival. And then I reached out to, actually, the first person I talked to about it was John Wesley, and he was like, no. Don't do that. It's a nightmare. Now, fortunately, there are smarter people than me in this town that have put on two different comedy festivals, Whatever Fest and Come and Take It.
You participated in one of them recently.
I've been on both of them. I've done both of them. But it's a lot. There's a ton that goes into that. I couldn't imagine on the scale of Coachella. Like, even just doing a local comedy festival here in Houston, the guys over at the Secret Group do an amazing job in putting those festivals on, and the time that it takes and the money. And the headache of it all. But yeah, something like Coachella, which is almost nationwide, really. I couldn't imagine. That is just too much work for me.
Oh my God, because
I'd be in over my head.
We visited there several times. And it's always like you go to the Starbucks, you grab a coffee, you can go down to Einstein's, grab whatever you want to do. And all of a sudden, if it was the one time we came in was Coachella weekend, and you're like, there's a line out the door for Starbucks, and everybody looks like they haven't showered in a month.
Oh, yeah.
And
them damn hippies, I swear. Ugh.
And
gross.
Just people all over the place looking like last night was really, really fun because this morning's really a bad deal. Yeah.
I saw this, you mentioned crazy earlier. John Wayne is trending on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, why on earth is John Wayne? My buddy Chris Rogers actually brought it to my attention because he was like, why do we keep going backwards and bringing up stuff we know exists and we know how bad it was back then? I just didn't know it was this bad because people started pulling up an old interview that Playboy did with John Wayne. And, you know, he was the rugged American, John Wayne, the Duke, a hero beloved by so many. This is, when you look back on it, you're like, it's pretty shocking to see the things, the way he answered them.
What did he say? Like, what was so bad? Man.
So, okay, Playboy asked the question, many militant blacks would argue that they have it better almost anywhere else. Even in Hollywood, they feel that the color barrier is still up for many kinds of jobs. Do you limit the number of blacks you use in your pictures? This was a question from Playboy to John Wayne. His answer was, oh, Christ, no. I've directed two pictures, and I gave the blacks their proper position. First of all, he said the blacks.
Mm-hmm.
I have a black slave in the Alamo, and I had a correct number of blacks in the Green Berets. If it's supposed to be a black character, naturally I use a black actor, but I don't go so far as hunting for positions for them. I think the Hollywood studios are carrying their tokenism a little too far. There's no doubt that 10% of the population is black or colored or whatever they want to call themselves. They certainly aren't Caucasian. Anyway, I suppose there should be the same percentage of colored race in films and in society. But I can't always, but it can't always be that way. There isn't necessarily going to be 10% of the grips or soundmen who are black, because more than likely 10% have trained themselves for that type of work.
It gets worse.
It does get worse, because they ask him about the American Indians. Did you see that quote?
I did.
Oh my God. So they say there's, let's change the subject. For years, American Indians have played an important, if subordinate, role in your Westerns. Do you feel any empathy with them? John Wayne, quote, "I don't feel we did wrong in taking this great country away from them, if that's what you're asking. Our so-called stealing of this country from them was just a matter of survival. There were great numbers of people who needed new land, and the Indians were selfishly trying to keep it for themselves."
The education,
oh, John.
The education. When was this comment too about African Americans was just
the
brutal.
Education.
Yeah,
yeah.
And people then, smarter than me have tests that can determine when they get to the proper level to be educated enough to where we can see them as being like leaders in the. Oh man!
Now you said, when did this happen? You would think that maybe this interview came out in the '50s,
yeah,
or the '60s,
forties, fifties,
May 1971.
Wow. Well, yeah. He was an old-ass man about to die at that point.
He was an old-ass man, but you still feel like, you know, in the 70s, this country really took a gigantic leap forward. You feel like. And maybe that's just the naivety of somebody like myself who was born in 74 and never went through the 50s, 60s, and you know, early 70s. But part of me looks at this and just cringes. But then the other part of me, I was thinking about it driving in. I'm like, yeah, of course. He says those things. Look how he grew up. Look in the era that he grew up in.
It's not incredibly shocking at all.
This should not be surprising that a white man thought that way in the era that he grew up in. That's just unfortunately the status of this country in the shape that we were in for years.
I mean, the dude was born in 1907. I mean,
well, that's not that old.
Yeah, but still,
1907.
This also goes back to what we talked about you can't outlive social media. Like, if you've done anything in your past, if you've put anything out there, if you've said anything or done anything, and you have the ability to erase it and get to it, man, it's like all these athletes that are signing these contracts and forget about the stuff, the stupid stuff that they put out there when they were 16, 17, 18. You can't escape it.
No.
You got to be smarter than that.
It's funny because somebody just tweeted to me, A-Bear said, Barry, Chuck D told us about John Wayne and Fight the Power. And I'll be damned if every time I don't hear his name, that's the first thing I think of. Was his mention in Fight the Power is the one of the first things that pops into my head. But yeah, you just, so it's weird how these things get dug up and then they become trending again, because I think a lot of people have heard the name John Wayne, but they didn't really know a lot about him. And now this is, for a whole generation, this may be the only thing that people know about him.
Yeah.
Four decades ago, he died 40 years ago, and this is being brought up now. Yeah. So.
Isn't that crazy?
But that's what was trending on Twitter, and you wonder how it gets started, but...
Somebody with a big media outlet had the power and has the clicks and has the audience and the readership and was able to put that story out. That's basically what it is.
But, has Playboy magazine gone away completely?
So, at one point, Playboy had gone away from...
The nudes.
They no longer did nude... They were no longer a nudie mag.
Right.
Because everyone loved them for their articles. I'm winking if you're looking at the video. But now I think they're back to doing nudes again. But it's like, okay, you're definitely not.
I mean, the internet. You have Pornhub. Yeah, you don't.
That's probably what it is. It's probably like a digital version, and you have to subscribe and all that other stuff.
But dude, just get Instagram and Twitter, and just search for Instagram models and Twitter hoes, and you'll get basically the same thing you would get in a Playboy.
I'm on the front page of it right now, and there's like no nudity.
Yeah, I don't see how people would. I mean, with all the Pornhubs of the world. I don't see how Playboy's business model allows them to be sustainable. Doesn't make sense.
They used to say Playboy was the classy.
Yeah.
Well, people Nobody aren't so classy
that.
Anymore.
Nobody wants that.
No.
Get out of here.
All right, we got one segment to go on the big show. We're going to keep it rolling along. And again, if you want to get in here, you still can as time is running out. 713-780-3776. Best at this point to send a text, but you can try and call. Otherwise, send us a tweet. And we always are looking up all of our stuff on Twitter. So we'll be getting with you at some point. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Final segment of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Tuesday. Way back Wednesday, Nick, your time is running thin. Do you have a theme? Yes or no?
No theme.
Mm-hmm. That's expected.
Tomorrow is February 20. 220.
Yeah. Oh, oh my God.
2 months before 420.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Just saying.
Guys, you're so bad at this.
Like you have... I'm not good with the themes. I can come up with the songs,
Barry,
and whoop y'all's
fingers.
Ass every
we
week.
We should do all songs by Maroon 5.
That's come about right.
Come on, man.
Today is 220. We should do songs by groups who combined weigh 220 pounds.
What?
I mean, it's 2 months before 420.
So what would the theme be?
So in 2 months,
songs
we'll
about
get back
weed.
To you.
So then in 2 months, when it's 420.
We'll get back to you.
I got that theme. I got that theme from a country bar. They did halfway to Halloween. So it was like 6 months to Halloween. And they did the Halloween theme 6 months in advance. I thought it was clever.
Oh.
They looked attractive. Okay. They looked talented.
Well, the more you talk, the less time you have to come up with a theme between now and 4 o'clock. Actually, 3:55. You've got less. You've got
7 minutes.
You've got 8 minutes.
Whatever.
Well, according to that, yeah, you're right. Seven now.
Well, yeah, you're looking at a different clock.
Yeah, get busy. Kirk Cousins is in hot water.
Yeah, I know.
He did not make the fan base happy with his tweet. He said, "In 2010, I was mad at King James for leaving Cleveland, but I've been in Miami for a total of 5 minutes, and now I totally understand." I mean, I'm sure he didn't mean it like that.
But I'm telling you what, I was thinking about this when I read that. Are the Viking fans upset or are they hopeful? Like, hey, if you like it that much and the Dolphins
go.
Need a quarterback, get your happy ass down to South Beach because we'll take anybody other than you. They might even take Keenum back if the Broncos cut him loose because Keenum at least got him there and had a fluke play beat him. Or they had a fluke play beat the Saints, actually. But they actually got there with Case Keenum. Kirk Cousins, I think if you're a Vikings fan, you're not mad about that. You're like, get your happy ass out of town then. Go.
Did he ever... I've only seen the initial tweet. Did he ever tweet a retraction?
Nope.
Calm down, guys. I meant the weather.
Nope.
Because I haven't seen anything like that.
I did not see
that.
It if he did it.
I looked up an article when they talked about it. Also doesn't mention him tweeting a retraction or clarification. But, oh boy. That's not a good... But, look. Which weather would you rather have, Joel?
Oh, no doubt about it.
Minnesota weather? In Minneapolis, St. Paul, or Miami weather?
Man, Ben, they've done that with the Wisconsin weather. I got out as fast as I could.
Okay, that's weather. That's one checkbox. Which group of ladies would you rather look at?
Yeah, the modeling agencies are all over South
Minneapolis, St. Paul women or women in Miami?
I've warned you about those Midwest girls.
I know.
The accent's a little different, but everything else variable-wise stays the same when you're talking about the winters and the poundage and
I get it. Like, what's the problem, Minnesota? Do you have that bad of a complex that you... And look, it's where would you rather play football? Would you rather play?
Well, they're wussies anyway in Minnesota because they play indoors.
Yeah,
but regardless, you want to play in conditions. You play in conditions.
You'd rather play in
Miami. Soldier Field.
Now,
too. The Bears, the Lions, and the Vikes are wussies.
True. Now, which team would you rather play for?
That's pretty easy.
Minnesota's
got a full roster.
So settle down, Vikings fans. I don't think he meant it that way. I think you're blowing it out of proportion.
Or get excited and say go.
Yeah.
Get your best offer and get out.
Although, you can name a handful of guys you'd probably want over Kirk Cousins, right?
Starting with Case Keenum at this point, because basically he didn't crap the bed.
You don't want Case Keenum back.
I don't know why everybody craps on him so much.
He's
not... top 10 in the league.
What was the coach that was in Minnesota?
He's better than serviceable.
That's gone now. The quarterback whisperer that was there.
Which one?
The one while he was there when Case played well and Bradford played well when Teddy Bridgewater got hurt.
He's the coach of the Giants now.
Yeah.
God dang it. Childress? No, not Childress. No.
We are so
Shurmur.
Bad.
Shurmur.
So while Shurmur's there, Case was great. Bradford was great until he got hurt. Teddy Bridgewater showed a lot of
Gary
potential.
Now Gary Kubiak's there, so whisper.
Yeah. He didn't exactly do a lot with Keenum when he had him.
But did he didn't really have him, did he?
Oh, yeah. He played here. He played under Keenum's
I know he
system.
Played here, but it was Bill O'Brien, system. I thought, because Bill O'Brien was one that walked up Keenum, to him and said, I think, in his book, he said Bill O'Brien told him he'd never be more than a third string quarterback.
I'm pretty sure Keenum played for Gary. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
Because I didn't think so.
But I would agree with you about Keenum going back to Minnesota if Pat Shurmur was still there. But yeah. That is not the case.
Well, and guess what? Then Pat Shurmur's with the Giants, so and the fact that Eli...
Yeah, I would still... No.
They're going to draft one, but short term, depending on what you do with Eli.
Well, I know Miami needs a quarterback, or they're going to be wanting a quarterback, and maybe that's a trade that the Vikings explore. Who knows? I would doubt it. I mean, they feel like they got their guy.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Kirk Cousins probably tweeted that and was like...
People are on vacation, sometimes they just feel like saying, hey, weather's good, life's great, let's go do this.
I mean, not that I've ever said another city was nicer than the city I live in. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. I don't make those mistakes. I'm not that dumb. I would never say Dallas-Fort Worth area was nicer.
And you know what? We were talking about
not the people, but the city.
Get off your lawn guy.
Yeah.
Do you know who Don Cherry is?
I do know who Don Cherry is.
He's the hockey announcer has the suits like Calvin Murphy.
I was going to say, he's the white hockey Calvin Murphy.
Yeah. Yeah, but now he's get off my lawn guy because the Carolina Hurricane, when they win a game, now granted, right, the game's over, and when the game is over and the other team's off the ice, they're doing things for the fans because at the end of the game, if you've ever seen a hockey game, they call out player of the game and award. They started doing things like duck, duck, goose, basically touchdown dances in the NFL. They've elaborated on them. So they're doing them on there. They simulate a baseball game and a home run, and they do a lot of things like the NFL touchdown dances. Well, Don Cherry is Mr. Old School Hockey, and he saw this, and he's already called them a bunch of jerks for their brazen decisions to enjoy their victories, deeming them a joke. And he basically threatened them by saying they better not do this in the playoffs, while the team ran with it on social media and then had T-shirts made up that said just a bunch of jerks.
That's hilarious.
But at the same time...
Good for them.
I get it if it's in the middle of a game and you got a celebration going on that's that elaborate in hockey and the other team's on the ice and it's still to be decided. But if you're at home, the game's over, and your fans are hanging around and you want people to enjoy hockey more, what the hell's wrong with that?
Let them have a little fun. What's wrong with that?
Man, seriously, get off my lawn, Don. I mean, let's just start talking about your suits.
So I looked it up real quick while you were talking. Keenum played with the Texans 2012, 2013, 2014. He was here for two games. 2013, he started eight games. He was 0-8. And Kubiak was the head coach of Houston Texans in 2013. Right. So that was the year, I think, that he did get axed. So, yeah, he was here for eight games under Gary Kubiak, and
that was the one where he just took a beating.
One and none of them. 0-8.
Okay. Well,
so, but yeah, for the Don Cherry thing, you know, I saw somebody say this about baseball, and eventually these old, by the book, old men are going to die off, and the sport can be fun again. And maybe hockey is the same way. I'm sure there's a lot of old school hockey guys.
But again, to stay relevant,
it would have some fun. Yeah, you need to attract younger audiences. Yeah,
baseball, basketball, and football are going to have a fan base that transcends generations.
And it's not like they did it in game.
Hockey doesn't even have a national TV deal anymore, which they used to have.
Hockey Night in Canada? Is that not a thing? Are you talking about
maybe
U.S.?
I'm talking about the U.S.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, do try and put it on, you talk about bad ratings. When they try and put it on a Saturday afternoon,
people
are clicking right off of that. The AAF might outdo them, too.
No. Well, that was a good show. Nick, theme for Way Back Wednesday tomorrow?
I don't have one.
Oh.
I do not have one, sir.
Well, the suspense is not only killing the audience, it's killing us, too. We'll figure we'll it tweet out tomorrow. It out.
Just,
all right.
I'm so disgusted right now.
I had one suggested. You crapped all over it.
220 was your suggestion.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
If this were Jeopardy, you know what my answer would be?
What?
No, I'm not going to do it to you.
Go ahead.
You know exactly where I was going.
For Barry and Nick, I'm Joel.
I love
Before
you.
We get
I love
in trouble,
you,
we're getting out of
I
here.
I love you, Nick.
We're the usual suspects. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
Then I didn't know if they sniffed their own parts or not.
ESPN 97.5.